Welcome to the Podcast at the Hill. You are about to hear a message from Pastor Daniel Blaylock entitled, The Gift of Joy, from our Advent series, Carols Reimagined.
Well, we welcome you today. Hope you've had a great day with us at the Hill. Before you go today, I want to remind you real quickly of a word from God's Word today. And we're going to share real quickly from Psalm 98. And if you brought your Bible, you can turn there with me for a moment. And if not, it's on the screen. We'll have you read it together with us today. This is the third Sunday of Advent. You may say, what in the world is that? Well, you saw during our play the candle that was lit right over here, the pink candle. We celebrate Advent here at the Hill every year, and it's a season of Sundays that lead up to Christmas. And the first Sunday, we lit our first purple candle, which represented, pop quiz church, represented hope. And then the second week, we lit our second purple candle, represented peace. And then this week we lit our pink candle representing joy. That's right. The pink candle represents joy. Next Sunday will be love. And then on Christmas morning, we'll light the big white candle in the middle representing Jesus Christ, his birth, and all that means for us this morning. Amen? Amen. This morning, I want you to read with me from the Word of the Lord, Psalm 98, very famous passage about the joy that Jesus will bring into the world. Amen? It's also the text for a famous hymn that we sang together a few moments ago, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Amen? Would you read aloud from God's Word with me as we share this psalm together? Let's read together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Amen. Amen. Join me in this great word of prayer for the third Sunday of Advent. I'm going to read and then you join me in the response. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us, because we are sorely hindered by our sins. Let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help us and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor, glory, now and forever. Amen. Read it with me. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. What a great prayer. Amen. In his ancient, the old story that we all love to read and watch various versions of, my favorite is the Mickey Mouse version. Pastor Chad's favorite is the Muppet version. But it was a book by Charles Dickens long ago called A Christmas Carol. And in that story, the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, was visited by three spirits. Do you remember? The ghost of Christmas and Christmas and Christmas. That's right. And in order for us to really grasp the joy of Christmas, we have to look at Christmas from all three of those angles: the past, the present, and the future. And the psalm we just read does that. It's really three verses, three stanzas, and the first one is all about the past, and the second one is all about the present, and the last one's all about the future. I want you to notice it with me. The first part of it that we read together, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. He's done marvelous things. His right hand has gained him the victory. All of that is about the past. Say the past. He's looking back at something God has done. And so the psalm begins with the past tense, and it talks about the glory of the Redeemer. The glory of the Redeemer. When the Bible talks about God winning a great victory, we can all think back to the stories of the Old Testament, and any of them the psalmist could have been referring to where God won the victory for his people, Israel. He says here, his right arm has gained him the victory. Say right arm. Now, you know why it says right arm, because most of us are stronger on the right side, correct? If you're right-handed, your right arm is your strong arm. If you're going to arm wrestle, you're going to offer your right arm, the arm of your strength. Well, that's the picture here. God's right arm has given him the victory. What's amazing, though, is when you read the book of Isaiah, Isaiah describes the strong right arm of the Lord. And when you read about God's strong right arm, it's not at all what you'd expect. Listen to how Isaiah describes God's mighty right arm. He says this way, "Who's believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And here's how he describes that right arm. "He'll grow up like a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and that when we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him smitten, stricken by God, and afflicted." Here's the verse, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are healed." What a great promise. Jesus Christ is the Lord's strong, mighty right arm. And how did he win a great victory for the people of God? Well, in a most unusual way. He did it by coming as a baby at Christmas. It wasn't a great military general who came on that day. It was a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. God doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He can take a helpless baby and change the world. And that's what happened at Christmas. The Lord's strong right arm, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and took on God's enemies. And how did he bring salvation? Well, how did he bring this salvation that overcame the enemies of God? Did he do it by smashing God's enemies? No, not at all. He took the place of God's enemies. He hung on the cross in the place of those of us, all of us, who have been the enemies of God, who've lived life on our own terms, kind of thumbed our nose at God and said, "I'll be the boss of my life. I'll be the king of my castle. I'll be the center of my own little universe." Well, Jesus came and died on the cross for you and me so that our sins could be forgiven, our rebellion could be wiped off the record in heaven. This passage ends with a verse in verse 6. I love it. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned from his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Years ago, when Dwight L. Moody, the famous evangelist, was asked while boarding a train, someone shouted through the crowd, "Mr. Moody, how can I be saved?" And Dwight L. Moody didn't have time to give great detail, so he shouted back from the train platform these words, Isaiah 53:6, "Go in with the first all and come out with the last all." And the first all says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And if we're going to be saved, we have to admit that. We are sinners who've broken God's law and need a Savior. But we have to come out with the last all. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God laid our sin on Jesus, and Jesus died and rose so that sin could be forgiven. And so if we go in with the first all, we can come out with the last all, saved, just as God intends us to be. And so the first part of the psalm is all about the past. Say the past. The glory of the Redeemer. Jesus came and won a victory by dying and rising again. The second verse of the song is about the present. Say the present. And it's about the joy of the redeemed. It's the happy part of the psalm, right? He says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises." And then he says in verse 6, "With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord." Once you've met Jesus, once you've met this Redeemer and experienced his salvation, joy is the only response. It's the only right response to God's salvation. The angels told the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Isaac Watts read these words and heard this famous psalm and penned the hymn that we sang this morning, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king." Verse 4 tells us that we are to shout our praises. Say shout. That makes some of you uncomfortable unless you're at a football game. But the Bible says that if anything ought to cause us to raise our voices, it ought to be the fact that Jesus has died and risen again so that we could be God's people. Verse 5 tells us to sing our songs. Say sing. So we are invited to sing, amen? And some of you may feel like some of the guys up here, some of you may be really good at it, some of you may not be really good at it, but God wants us all to sing. Now, Pastor, I can't sing. Well, we won't give you a mic, but you can still sing, and you still should sing. All God's people ought to sing, even if it's in the shower, amen? We ought to lift our voice and shout praises to God and sing praises to God. Why? Because He's done great things for us. Verse 6 says, we ought to play our instruments. Say, play. Now, I know there are people in some denominations that don't believe in instrumental music, but we do because Psalm 98 tells us we ought to play our instruments with trumpets and horns and the sound of the harp. We ought to give praise and honor to God. And so we shout and we sing and we play our instruments unto the Lord because we believe that pleases and honors the Lord. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. We're invited to sing at Christmas time. In the end, lasting joy doesn't come from costly gifts, the newest tech gadgets, or even the family gatherings that I do hope you'll enjoy. Joy comes from knowing Jesus and receiving the gift of God's salvation through a personal relationship with Christ, inviting Him into your heart and into your life. Well, we've looked at Christmas through the lens of the past, say the past, and the present, say the present, and then we look at it through the lens of the future, right? When Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World, he actually wasn't writing about Christmas. Pastor Quinley shared about this at our senior adult fellowship the other day. This hymn was not originally an Advent hymn or a Christmas hymn. It was a hymn not about the first coming of Jesus, but about the second coming of Jesus. That's going to be the day when the earth receives the King. That will be the day when the curse is canceled. That will be the day when Jesus rules over all the earth. Amen? And so this hymn not only looks at the past deliverance and the present joy we have, if we've trusted Jesus, it looks at the future day when Jesus will come again. And He will receive us unto Himself, the day when He will come. And so we've got this idea not only of the glory of the Redeemer and the joy of the redeemed, but there's this groaning for redemption. Say groaning. You know that sound you make when you get out of bed every morning, right? Before the coffee and the Advil kick in. The groaning. Why did you choose this word? Well, it's interesting. The Bible says in verses 7 through 9 of the psalm that not only do the redeemed sing and cry out to God, but the whole of creation, the earth, cries out to God, longing for the day when the King will come. And so there's those funny lines that we sing and don't think about. Let heaven and nature sing, right? While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. And we're thinking, well, I've never heard fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Oh, yes, you have. You may not have recognized it. But every time the wind blows, every time the ocean waves crash against the shore, every time the trees of the field wave their branches, the creation around you is groaning and longing and expressing its anxious anticipation for the day when Jesus comes again. Why? Because not only do you and I experience the pain and sorrow that came in the world by sin, the Bible says the whole earth groans under the curse of sin, waiting for the day when it will be released. You know, the Bible says that when the children of Israel came out of exile, Isaiah 55, verse 12, the prophet said, you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands while you go out with joy. Even creation joins in the celebration. It's longing for the day when God will return and set right everything that is wrong. Evildoers will be judged. Injustice will be brought to an end. And Paul reminds us, it's not just we humans who wait eagerly for the coming of the Lord. All of creation waits for the coming of the Lord. Romans 8 says it this way, for all creation is eagerly waiting for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But eager with hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been, here's the word, groaning. groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as adopted children, including the new bodies that He promised us. The future. We don't really appreciate Christmas until we understand that Jesus didn't just come to do a great work in the past or even to bring us joy in the present and enough peace and hope to make it through the meanwhile while we suffer and wait. No, Jesus came to change everything about the future. Jesus came to bring a future day when, as the psalmist writes and the hymn writer Isaac Watts penned the words, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessing flow far as the curse is found." And we're waiting on that day when He will come. All of creation will be set free from the curse of sin and death. There'll be no sickness or sorrow or pain or suffering. The psalmist can hear all of creation groaning, anxiously waiting for the moment when Jesus comes in and breaks the ancient curse of death and corruption brought about through Adam's sin and sustained by all of our sins. On that day, the oceans will roar like a mighty choir. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The earth will quake like the thunder of 1,000 kettle drums. The morning stars will sing in chorus. Every flower in the field will unfurl its petals like a banner of praise. And when Jesus returns, the nations will rejoice, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy of God's children rejoicing over the fact that Jesus has come, not just the first time, but the second time, without sin, to bring God's salvation for those who've trusted in Him. I want to ask you today, as we prepare to go, has the truth of Christmas broken over your heart? Have you missed the season? I hope these kids helped you get in the spirit today of Christmas. But you know, we're in danger as adults, more so than the kids are, of missing Christmas. We can get so caught up in the busyness of the holiday, all the things we have to do, all the shopping, all the cooking, all the appointments and parties and events, that it can go right over our head if we're not careful. Let me ask you today, are you groaning for redemption today? Are you anxiously longing, expectantly waiting for the day when Jesus will return? Are you doing that? Are you joining with creation and saying, "I just can't wait"? I love the line in the play where they read from Isaiah and they said, "It's going to be a great day when Jesus comes." Church, it is going to be a great day when Jesus comes. And we long for that great day. Are you longing for it, groaning for redemption? Let me ask you, in the meantime, are you rejoicing with the redeemed? Are you one of the people who know that their sins are forgiven, who know that they've been made right with God, who have peace with God through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus? Someone who can say with a psalmist in Psalm 32, "Blessed, happy, joyful is the man whose sins are forgiven. Joyful is the one to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Are you one of those people, one of those happy, blessed, joyful people who can say with all your heart, "I've given my life to Jesus. I've trusted in His blood, and I know that my sins are forgiven. And because of the cross, I have joy and peace with God this Christmas." Has His salvation filled your heart with joy? And finally, are you resting in the Redeemer today? Are you resting in what Jesus has already done on the cross? Like Moody said, have you gone in with the first all and come out with the last all this Christmas? Have you acknowledged your sin? Have you invited Jesus to be the Savior of your life? Have you said to God, "I believe He died and rose for me, and I put all my hope of salvation in what He did. I could never fix me, but Jesus has already done the work"? If you'll invite Jesus in, if you'll receive the gift of salvation, if you'll turn from your way and go God's way, God will give you all the gifts we've been preaching about this Christmas season. The gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of His love. You can know all of those things, but they only come when you receive the big gift of Christmas. The big gift of Jesus, born not just in a manger, born in your heart. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. The only way you'll know Christmas is if you've made room in your heart for Jesus, the Son of God. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Is Jesus living in your heart today? You're the only one who can invite him in. Let every heart prepare him room. Have you received him? Stand with me all over the Lord's house this morning. Amen. Chad's going to come and play for a moment. And as I dismiss us in a moment of prayer, I want to ask you today, where are you in light of Christmas? Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, you know, I mean, I've come today to see the kids program and that kind of thing. And I pop in a little bit around Christmas time and maybe a couple other times a year. But, you know, but in your heart, you know as well as I do that Jesus Christ really isn't the center of your life. He really isn't the one that you've leaned into to find hope and peace and joy. You aren't banking on Jesus for a lot. You're not. And you know that you're not because you're chasing everything else to give you that peace and that hope and that joy. Let me ask you today, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to make the shift this Christmas? Are you going to put all your weight down on Jesus? Are you going to come to the place in the Christian life where you can say, you know what? I'm trusting Jesus totally. I know that it's not in my career, it's not in my kids, it's not in anything else. The only place I'm going to find lasting joy and peace is in Christ. Have you come there? If not, I hope you will this Christmas. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that this season, something will speak to you, and the Holy Spirit will bump your heart, and you'll realize maybe for the first time, the missing piece is Jesus. I want to tell you, you'll have no peace until you have Jesus. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you today for Psalm 98, this great psalm of joy, the songs of joy that our kids have sung this morning, and the great old hymn of the faith that we sang together at the beginning, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Father, I pray this morning that as we bow our hearts in your presence, Lord, you would speak to us. And Lord, if there's one person in this room today who has never trusted in Jesus, who's never really surrendered their heart to Christ, who's never understood this isn't just about a baby in a manger and a few weeks of everybody being nice to one another. Lord, this is about our heart receiving you, our heart making room for you. Lord, help us to see today it's not a manger where you want to be born, it's our hearts. It's in us where you plan to live out your life. Lord, help us today to make room for you and receive you as Savior and Lord. Lord, you are going to come again. It is going to be a great day. But Lord, we want to be on the right side of your coming. We don't want to be among those who find themselves judged by your coming. Lord, the psalm we read said you're coming to judge the nations in equity and judge the people with truth. So Lord, we know that while we point at all the injustice and all the wrongdoing out there, Lord, if we're honest, there's some wrongdoing in us too. And that needs to be dealt with. So, Father, I pray today if there's one in the room who's never received the forgiveness of their sins, never asked Jesus to wash their heart by his blood, to come into their life and make them a new creature in Christ, a new person, I pray today would be the day they do that and that, Lord, they would celebrate by coming back to your house and letting someone here on the pastoral team know that, walking an aisle, letting someone know they've trusted Christ this Christmas. Lord Jesus, have your way. Every head bowed for a moment. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never trusted Jesus as Savior, but my heart is stirred this Christmas, will you pray for me that this would be the season when I finally open my heart to Jesus and things get right between me and God? Never trusted Christ, but you're interested in this. And you say, Pastor, pray for me this season. Just slip up your hand. Not going to call you out, invite you down. Just want to know how to pray for you today. Thank you today. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I once walked with God. I felt like at one time I was really close to him, but things have happened and life went this way and that. And somewhere along the way, I kind of wandered off and drifted away from my intimate relationship with Jesus. And Pastor, will you pray for me that this Christmas will be the season when I mend my fence with God? I draw back closer to him and I renew that relationship where I push other things out of the way and my heart prepares him room this season. Pastor, will you pray for me today that that'll be real for me this Christmas? Are you here? Thank you today. Hands already going up all over the building. Thank you. Others, Yeah, just being honest with God. Not going to embarrass you or call you out. Just giving you a chance to let me know how to pray for you. Thank you today. Yeah, several around the room. That's okay. Thank you for your honesty today. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray today for those that have trusted you enough to raise their hand. Lord, I pray that you'd meet them this season. You've spoken to their heart all season and through this message. And I pray that, God, they'd find some place to get alone with you and open their heart and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of letting other things squeeze in between me and you. Lord, this Christmas, let everything change for them. Let their heart open up. Let them draw close to God again. And then as this Christmas season and New Year begin, help them just to quietly slip back into the church pews that they once occupied so faithfully. And help them to draw close to you again. Lord, thank you that you've promised us that if we'll come to you, you will in no wise cast us out. You won't reject us if we come. You will gladly receive us. Father, I pray that they'll come home to you this Christmas. In Jesus' name and for his sake, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, I want to tell you again, on behalf of the Forest Hill Church, we're so glad you came. Hope you enjoyed these great kids. If you're looking for your kids, when you walk out this back door, you go to your left, my right, and they're down there in the kids' hall. They'll be waiting on you. 3:30, 3:45, we'll meet up for our Christmas caroling. Before you go, let's receive this benediction from the Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and may the fellowship of God, the Holy Spirit, be with us and remain among us throughout this Christmas. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Go in peace. Have a blessed Advent. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to our podcast at The Hill. We pray that you are blessed by this message. For more information on what's happening at The Hill and to stay connected, visit our website at ForestHillCOG.org, join our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForestHillCOG, or download our app from the iTunes or Google Play Store.